comments? Want to mention that a couple different things. One is all those fellows up here, a good number, are getting to be ready to graduate from college, and so we're going to need some replacements in this brass group. And so there needs to be some fourth and fifth grades, or even some kindergartners. They get in their mind that they're going to be brass players, faith, and a good conscience, which some, having put away, that is conscience, concerning faith, hath made shipwreck. Let me read that again. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away, that is a good conscience, concerning faith, hath made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You know, if you do any reading or look at news, you know today there's a lot of, and on the internet there's a lot of blogs. I read about a blog today. I don't know what the name of it is, but it's Former Preachers for Atheists. It's a blog for people who used to be preachers that are now atheists. And you can find all sorts of blogs on there, you know, with all sorts of bitter people. And writing about this or writing about that, writing about how they used to believe in God, how they used to believe such and such, and now they don't believe any of that foolishness anymore. They've been delivered. It's everywhere. Why? Why? Why do we find that today there are multitudes of young people who at one time were in a good home and lived a pretty decent life, and today they live a godless life? Why are there people that go to Bible colleges, and when they come out of Bible college, they have in process thrown away all their convictions. Thrown away their convictions about Hollywood, thrown away their convictions about movies, thrown away their convictions about dating or courtship, thrown away their convictions about modesty. And they end up, I won't tell you where, because you know. How does that happen? Now, obviously, there's a number of possibilities. But one of the possibilities is right here. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, that is, a good conscience. And thus, concerning faith, have been made shipwreck. You know, the conscience is an important thing. You know, a lot of people, they look at things from a very unbalanced situation. I was at a place and gave a guy a tract and tried to start talking to him about the Lord. And he's having his trouble with his teenage daughter. And he said, "Boy, I don't like the kids that my daughter is hanging around with." And I told her, if she does the things that those kids do, I'm going to give her a big boot. And et cetera, et cetera. And there's one thing he left out of the equation. He left out of the equation that young girl's soul. You know, people think about sin and they think about, you know, if that happens, you know, they'll get pregnant and this happened and that happened and they do this and that happened. But, you know, that's nothing in comparison to what sin does to the soul. Now, the Bible is telling us that in this very instance. Why do people leave the faith? Why do they, concerning the faith, become shipwreck? The Bible tells us that one of the reasons for that is because they have put away a good conscience. They have put away a good conscience. Now, I want to talk about conscience tonight a little bit and to see how this all works. Now, the Bible has another number of descriptions and statements about the conscience. Now, the word conscience is actually two words. It's a compound word and actually comes from Latin. It means knowledge with. And it's talking about the fact is that God has implanted on everybody a conscience. Now, that conscience is very sacred because, you know, that conscience has been given to God to every human being. It is His mark. It is the evidence of God's existence. You know, the conscience is the judge, the trial, the jury. It's the yellow light of the stop and go light. It's the siren of the policeman. You know, it's the ticket that the policeman writes out. It's all of those things in one. And, you know, so you're going down the road and you're not paying attention, and maybe you are paying attention. And you know what? And you're going over the speed limit and it doesn't bother you at all. You're going over the speed limit and you're going really pushing it. And all of a sudden, you know, and all of a sudden your stomach goes, "Oh, no. Oh, man, it didn't bother you when you were speeding. But now that you heard the siren, all of a sudden it's like, oh. Oh, man, guess what? Where'd that come from? That came from God. That is the evidence within you of a living God. It's like the, you know, you might think you're a big shot and stand before the judge, but guess what? The judge, what that fella says when he pounds the gavel, that's it. He says, "Go to jail." That's it. Doesn't matter what you think. He said, "Go to jail. You're guilty." You know, that's the conscience. It's based on the fact that there's a moral God. And you are created in the image and likeness of God, and you have a moral register right within you. That's your conscience. That's the innermost part of your being. It's one of the most vital parts of your inner being. Conscience. You know, conscience doesn't mean much anymore. It doesn't mean much anymore to hardly anyone. Young people think they can play with their conscience. Parents, they don't think much of their children's conscience. They don't protect their children's conscience. I know a preacher that they make their kids go against their conscience. There's something wrong. There's something vitally wrong in the understanding of the conscience today. Romans chapter 9 gives us a little insight. Not only does everybody have a conscience, but the Bible seems to give us an insight that the conscience is a vital part of the Holy Spirit's work in our life, and how the Holy Spirit works and leads us and directs us in our lives. Notice it says in Romans chapter 9, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Here we find a work with the conscience and the Holy Spirit. Well, now that's getting pretty serious. Every man has a conscience, an important part of their life. Now we see that the Spirit of God does a work in a person's life through the conscience. Now it tells us that for a Christian, the conscience is even more vital. And then we see in this verse that we looked at as our starting text, if those who leave a good conscience will become shipwrecked concerning the faith. Now, I would say people that deny the existence of God have become shipwrecked. I say that people who no longer call sin sin have become have begun the process of becoming shipwrecked. And you know, where does the process stop? You know, that's the big question. Where does this process start? You start playing with your conscience. Where does the process stop? Typically, it doesn't stop. It just keeps going down and down and down and down and down. Now, let's look at the Bible about a description of the conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5 talks about a good conscience. First Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment. Okay? You know what it means? It's saying the end of the commandment. The end of really knowing your Bible. The end of proper study of the Bible. Is what? The end? The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. A good conscience. What's a good conscience? You know, a good conscience is a conscience that operates well. It operates. It's operating. It's operating well. When you do bad, it says, no! When you think about doing bad, it says, no! When you do bad, guilty. guilty. You know what? If you do wrong, you shouldn't feel good about it. You know, the psychologists try and take away depression. Let me tell you what, you ought to be depressed if you do wrong. Don't go somewhere and try to take a drug to take away the depression. Get rid of the sin. A good conscience is a conscience that works. You know what? If you can say something, you can back talk to your mom, young person, and your conscience doesn't bother you, that's not good. It's not good. And you can listen to an off-color joke and smile, and your conscience doesn't rise up. Yeah, let me tell you what. That's bad. If your conscience doesn't bother you when you're with somebody, some other person, and they're making mocking statements about God, and right, and your conscience doesn't bother you, tell you what, you're in trouble. Big trouble. A good conscience is a conscience that works. It's sensitive. It responds to bad. It convicts. It condemns. It makes a person miserable. Good conscience is a good thing. Bible talks about a defiled conscience, Titus chapter 1. Unto the pure all things are pure, verse 15, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. And so instead of their conscience being pure, their conscience is defiled. And so because they've defiled their conscience with filth, when they see filth, it doesn't bother them. Conscience doesn't bother them. In fact, they want more. And more and more. They've defiled this mechanism, God-given mechanism, to keep us in the right path. And it doesn't work anymore. It's defiled. 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about a seared conscience. And this is a step further. It says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, you know, a brand. What is a brand? You take a hot iron, and we do dehorning of our calves. And so you take this hot iron. And horns aren't a part of the skull. Horns are a part of the hair. And so, you take this hot iron and you put it on the calf right over their horn nodule. And oh boy, you know, they want to move. They want to move. But you know, after you've burned it long enough, you burned all the nerve endings. Burned all the nerve endings. Conscience is seared. When a person goes against their conscience, so violates their conscience, so refuses their conscience and continues to do that which is blatantly wrong, their conscience is seared. That horn's not going to grow now. It's ended. You burn the life right out of it. A seared conscience. Probably you know somebody with a seared conscience. That's pretty serious. All of a sudden, guess what? When you think about it, conscience has been given to man by God. Now you find someone who is beginning to become unhuman. Read Harlan Popov, tortured for his faith, and see what the atheists did and how they persecute. Harlan Popov understood the persecution and the concentration camps of Adolf Hitler. But Adolf Hitler wasn't even close to the inhumane treatment of atheist communists. No conscience. Act like animals. That's what we're talking about. Seared conscience, defiled conscience. Notice there's another phrase in the Bible, a weak conscience, 1 Corinthians 8. Boy, the new evangelicals say that you and I have a weak conscience. They say we have a weak conscience. They don't know their Bible very well. But you know, new evangelical, they'll, and a lot of new Baptists now, they say now, you know, I don't want to offend you. You know, we're going to have beer with our lunch, but you know, if that offends you, because you have a weak conscience, you know, we won't do it. Because we really believe in love. That's a new definition of a weak conscience. 1 Corinthians 8, talking about things offered unto idols. It says, verse 12, and when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest my brother make my brother to offend. Now, if you read the context, what it's saying? It's saying that we know an idol is nothing. But you know, in one sense, an idol really is something. I mean, it isn't real. It isn't a real God because there's only one God. But to some people, it's real. And Apostle Paul said, when you offer something to idol, you're offering it unto the devil, and you can't have fellowship with devils and a fellowship with God. But the whole context is this. You know, if you say, well, I know that idol's nothing. No big deal. And so I'm gonna eat that meat offered to that idol. And then it says, well, the person has a weak conscience. What is a weak conscience? Well, what's the strong conscience? A strong conscience says, don't do that. A weak conscience says, well, maybe you shouldn't do that. But the voice isn't strong enough to keep the person from doing it. And when they see somebody else doing it, they say, okay, must be okay. I saw a preacher so-and-so doing it, must be okay. They don't have a deep enough, strong enough conscience within themselves to do what's right because it's right. And you know, a lot of people have weak conscience because they're babes in the Lord. And when the minute they see somebody else doing right, they say, well, I guess I'll do wrong. And when they see someone else doing wrong, they say, oh, I'm going to do wrong too. Well, you know why? Their conscience is very well informed by the Word of God. Their conscience isn't working very well in their life. They have a weak conscience. But a good conscience. This is important. A good conscience, one that operates. Now, the Bible talks about even an evil conscience. An evil conscience is really twisted. It's one that calls evil good and calls good evil. You know anybody like that? They call evil good and they call good evil. The Bible has a lot to say about the conscience. Now let's go back to where we began. First Timothy. Holding faith. That's talking about the Word of God. That's talking about the beliefs of the Word of God. That's talking about the convictions, the truths, the principles of the Bible. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, that's their conscience, concerning faith hath made shipwreck. How does this work? I'll tell you, let me give you some examples how it works. Are you listening, young person? I want you all looking this way. Every young person. Wouldn't help to have adults looking here either. But young person, how does this work? Oh, I tell you how it works. Okay? Your family gets a new revelation from God, and TV is okay. And Hollywood movies are okay. Or maybe the safeguards aren't in your home and you're watching TV. And so you start watching things that you know are wrong. You know what? Nobody saw you do it. Now God did. But nobody saw you do it. But guess what? Your conscience saw you do it. In fact, your conscience was right there. And pretty soon, you know, what was bad isn't so bad. And yet to see something a lot worse before your conscience to prick it all. And then after you watch that a few times, your conscience doesn't prick over that anymore. And then you got to see something even worse than that for your conscience to even prick a little bit. You lost a good conscience. Now, what happens when you lose a good conscience? You know what? You start losing your faith. That's right. You start losing your faith. Now, how is it going to come out? Well, first of all, you're going to say, you know what? That preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. There's nothing wrong with TV. What's this preacher talk about? Big deal about Hollywood movies. Nothing wrong with that. I can handle that. Yeah, you can handle it real well. You're losing your conscience more and more. You can handle it all right. No, you aren't handling it. You're losing the most important part of your life. Okay. Well, so let's take another illustration. Okay. Music. You know, the turning point for a lot of young people is when they, now I realize it's a little bit different, but let's go old time, but it's still true a lot of times. Young person gets a car. I mean, I realize this is ancient history, but, you know, in cars they have radios and CDs. And so here's this young man, gets a car, and now he can turn the radio on. Oh, he can turn the radio on. Nobody's there. Nobody's listening to what they're listening to. Mom isn't there. Dad isn't there. Preacher isn't there. Sunday school teacher isn't there. Nobody's there. Your conscience is. And you know, the first time you turned it on, you felt a little funny about doing it. But you know, second time, a few less pricks. And you know, the third time, says, hey, you know, let's try a little bit wilder kind. And, you know, you kind of feel a little funny about doing that. But, you know, you turn it on. Maybe even turn it louder. And then, you know, you keep listening to that. And then pretty soon he says, hey, man, let's get into some good old rap. And your conscience says, ooh. And you turn it on. And, you know, next time. Oh, you know how to add to it? I tell you how to add to it. Tell your friend. Tell your friend about what you did. Now you got a powerful, you went another step with your conscience. You went another step with your conscience of defiling it. Because now there's a human being that knows what you're doing. And typically, your conscience is going to, you know, make you feel uncomfortable when somebody else knows what you're doing, even though God always knows what you're doing. But when another person knows what you're doing, and you agree on that, boy, I tell you what, you just really messed up your conscience. Now, you could do something else. You could go to a good old new evangelical preacher. Some compromiser that says, hey, nothing wrong with that kind of music. Boy, your conscience really needs that, doesn't it? That'll really help your conscience. Whew, I was gotten big relief. Got this big name preacher, said it was okay to sin. Really helps your conscience. Oh, you can find them out there. Just look long enough. You can find them. There's all sorts of kind of preachers are going to tell you what you want to hear so you can do what you want to do. But let me tell you something. The real problem is your conscience. Your conscience. And what's going to happen? Well, of course, what's going to happen? Wrong isn't going to be wrong anymore. Oh, you know what? You're going to blame the Holy Spirit. That's what you're going to do. You're going to blame the Holy Spirit. You're going to say, you know, maybe you go to Bible college and you get educated. And you got some teacher up there that says, you just come from a narrow right-wing church. Don't laugh at me because there's plenty of them that said it. And you know what? They're just so far out to the right. And now the conscience is really dulled. Right, Stephen? It's really dulled. It's not going to rise up much at all now. And guess who's going to get blamed? Holy Spirit. You know what? You're going to say, you know, I used to believe that was wrong. But you know, that was just my parents. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. You know, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was Ron Roberts. And I just had Ron Roberts' convictions. And you know, I don't feel any conviction from the Holy Spirit about that anymore. That wasn't from the Holy Spirit. It was just from man. Why did they, what happened? They lost a good conscience. And now, guess what? They're beginning to become shipwreck concerning the faith. If it hasn't happened a million times, it hasn't happened ever. You know, Mom and Dad, when we backslide, we can hurt our children's conscience a lot. They see us doing something, and their conscience, being weak, is going to justify it. But it's still wrong! And they're going to bring defilement into their mind, through their eyes, into their ears. And guess what? Something invisible is going to happen. And it's going to happen to their conscience. Their conscience that should be quick and alive and responsive and sharp. Because of the Spirit of God, and because of the Word of God, and because of obedience, will become dull. It will become defiled. Once a child gets on that road, they begin to lose the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then they go somewhere and they say, oh, that was just man's preaching. Holy Spirit isn't telling me that anymore. That's exactly how it works. But you know what? It doesn't stop there. Some people, they don't live long enough for it to go much further. But it doesn't stop there. What happens when the gates are open to sin? And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, the conscience is a vital part. It's a vital part of our being to close the gates, to keep the doors closed, to say, don't go there. Stay out of that room. Don't go down that path. When we lose that voice, the functioning of the Spirit of God in our conscience, we have lost a vital part of our spiritual life, a protection. You know, you say, oh, no big thing. My kids can do that. They can handle it. Oh, they might be able to handle the sin outwardly, but they can't handle what it does to their conscience. And when a parent is so foolish that they start doing things and saying things, that they start tampering with their child's conscience, they shouldn't be surprised when that child gets into all sorts of stuff that is just flagrantly evil. Why? Mom and Dad took away their conscience. They mocked at the voice of the preacher. Take away the conscience. Open the floodgates to sin. You know, you can probably, if we were God, which we aren't, if we could look on the other side of the words of these former fundamentalists, of these former preachers who are now atheists, et cetera, et cetera, I guarantee you'll find something. Their journey started for most of them. For many of them, I don't know. I mean, I said there's more than one answer to this question. But their journey started when they lost a good conscience. Is it important what people your children hang around with? You know what? I had good parents. And really, they never had a reason to know that they couldn't trust me. But I don't think they had any idea about some of the things that my friends talked about. I still remember those words to this day. They were defiling. What happens when you go against your conscience? Do you know where it's going to stop? Oh, you say, it's all right. I can watch that TV program. It's no big deal. There's only one person that says it's a big deal, and that's, you know, so-and-so and the preacher. Tell you what. There's somebody that knows and something that knows it's not good and something that you don't have, in one sense of the word, any control over, and that is your conscience. We need a good conscience. To have a good conscience, we need to confess our sins. We need to confess our sins. Young person, adult, you know what? If we don't confess our sins, we're in big trouble. Not only we are in big trouble because we are not in fellowship with God and we're walking in the flesh and we know all those things, but our message tonight is about the conscience. And you have a conscience that doesn't work, you're in big trouble. In my experience, you'll find a lot of people that say, oh man, that person's got an overly sensitive conscience. Now, I remember people who talked like that. And you know, the ones that I remember who talked like that are not doing well spiritually today. They're not doing well. I would have to say for to the most part, all of them have left the path of their instruction. It's a serious thing. There's a lot of people that don't think very well of the importance of the conscience. I remember through the years, I remember a young lady that was in our church who came to our church. She was at Camp Joy. She came to our church, and she didn't have a dad. And she was a blessing to our family and helped our family. And we sent her off to Bible college. And when she got to Bible college, they said, What in the world are you letting the Robertses be a spiritual authority in your life? You don't need them. You don't need them. This is foolish. You don't need them as your spiritual authority in your life. You're your own person. I wouldn't want to tell you what sin this young lady is in today. Because there was some college professor that thought they were so smart. They could let this young lady go against truth and principle and destroy her good conscience. And when she lost that, she lost everything. I can tell young people that they start coming to you and they say, Pastor, you know, I don't really believe that. You know, this whole idea of modesty and men. You know, and you know what? That music that you have at your church, I mean, that standard music, I tell you what, they're just overboard. And you know, And you know, women wearing trousers, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and you can get the whole list, you can imagine it. Then you find out years later, that same young person, at night, without the parents' knowledge, was on the internet. They're on the internet. Defiling their conscience, losing their conscience. They lost the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not that they lost it, but they lost, you know what I mean? They lost their conscience. And guess what happens? They start throwing away their faith. Oh, and it starts off with the little things. Oh, men's modesty. Women's modesty, music, you know, things that you can always find someone that will take a contrary position. But that really wasn't the truth at all. The real truth was he had defiled his soul. He had lost his conscience. And now it was taking effect in the life. You know what? I'm wondering. What does that young person need to do? They need to go back. They need to go back those many years back and admit the truth. I start playing with images in my mind, and those images in my mind took away my conscience. And when my conscience was taken away, there was a free fall. There was a loss of that sharp, vivid voice of the Spirit of God in the life. You know, the fact is, folks, we can only see the outside. We can only see the outside. Most of the time, we will never know what really took place. But the Bible tells us what takes place. The Bible says, when you lose a good conscience, The result will be you will become shipwrecked concerning the faith. You know, the Holy Spirit tries to guard us. Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. And you know, when those questionable things in our life, when we let them go, we're grieving the Spirit of God. That becomes serious. It becomes a very serious situation in our lives. Tonight, maybe we need to do some business with God. Young person, maybe you need to be honest. The reason, the real reason, that you are the way you are spiritually is because you have defiled your conscience. You've kept it from your parents. Maybe your buddies know about it. But I tell you what, you haven't kept it from God. And it hasn't stopped from destroying your conscience. And now, who knows what will happen to your life? The gates are open to sin rather than closed. The opportunity closer to God is even further away because you've lost that sensitivity to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God. Going forward is almost an unknown. You're sunk going backwards. Why don't you get honest? Why don't you get honest with yourself? Don't blame somebody else. Be honest with yourself. Say, you know what? I did things that were wrong. And according to the Bible, it has affected my soul. You know why the new evangelicals are the way they are? They've tasted things that have defiled their soul. And truth isn't known intellectually. Truth is known spiritually. And the fact is, we're all human, myself included, and we many times don't think correctly about sin. And we play with sin rather than running from it. And if you can identify with what I'm saying tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, I plead with you. I plead with you. Tell the truth. Go to your parents. Maybe you need to go to your parents and say, you know what, Mom and Dad? The things that you let us watch on TV and the things that we watch together on TV, they hurt my soul. They hurt my soul. Maybe you need to be honest with yourself. Maybe you need to be honest with your friends and say, you know what? I can't have you as my friend because my soul can't handle it. I want to be right with God. I don't want to hear your talk. I don't hear your words. I don't want that stuff in my mind. I can't have you as a friend. My conscience is too valuable to have it ruined by letting all this trash in there. I mean, we need to get honest, don't we? It's our soul. And you know, if your convictions are lessening, rather than increasing, you have something wrong in your life and it needs to get changed. That is not normal Christianity. And it's serious. And so, I am pleading with you tonight, young person, adult. I mean, you don't have to. You know what? If you're 63 years old, you're just as much a human being as a 17-year-old, and you are just as much affected by sin as a 16-year-old. Just because we're senior citizens, that doesn't mean that we can play with sin. We're not exempt. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a day in which, Lord, the fear of the Lord is very minimal. And we live in a day that, in a certain sense, that whole issue of a good conscience is certainly downplayed. And Lord, I fear that the conscience has been so misused in so many places that's really pretty dull. And has become normal. Lord, I pray that we would take the admonition to flee far from her. The things of the world and the worldly temptations and the sins that really so easily beset us that are all around us in this fleshly world. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for those that have begun to mess up their conscience. And Lord, they show that by their anger, they show that by their rebellion, they show that by their hatred of authority. Their conscience is messed up. I pray that you'd work in their hearts. Lord, I pray to rescue them. I pray that by your grace there might be some reason from the scriptures tonight that will bring them to turn, bring them to confess, bring them to forsake, will enlighten their eyes as to what is happening in their soul, to take away all their excuses and the lies of the devil. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work.